Dalton takes the snap. Fires to the right. Pass going to be intercepted by Gilmore. Goodbye. Gone to the 50. Left sideline 40. To the 30. Stephon Gilmore to the 10. En route to his second pick six of the season. Touchdown, Patriots!
You know, once you're out, you know, you really, you know, sometimes you take things for granted, you know, and I never took it for granted, but it make you really appreciate, you know, the grind each and every day. Appreciate playing on Sundays. You know, you really appreciate, you know, just being out there with your teammates. So that's one thing I thought about these last couple of weeks. And I'm happy that I'm back healthy and looking forward to this week.
Patriots corner Stephon Gilmore expected back for the Pats today. If you or a loved one is struggling with alcohol or drug use, AdCare can help with locations in Massachusetts and Rhode Island. Help is just around the corner. Your path to recovery begins at AdCare. Call AdCare now at 1-800-ALCOHOL. That's 1-800-ALCOHOL. Bert Breer of the MMQB joins us now on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. Bert, you heard from Stephon Gilmore because all of a sudden on Friday, he had an afternoon media availability after not playing in two straight games. This came after his head coach on Friday morning really was singing his praises about how great of a player and how great of a teammate and leader and helper and all these things. It just seemed a little odd. And as Chris said last statement, maybe an understanding has been reached between Stephon Gilmore and Bill Belichick. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, they're in the playoff race now, so we need you on board, buddy. Like, let's get on board, and we'll handle what we need to handle after the season. Something like that, Chris? That's sort of what you're getting at?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what it sort of feels like to me. They're within striking distance of, you know, winding up the sixth or seventh seed in the AFC now. And I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, we saw as high as the ceiling may be on JC Jackson, we also, I think, got an idea of what it looks like when he is the number one corner and when he is getting the matchups that Stephon Gilmore gets more consistently. And, you know, they need him, like, to play defense a certain way, to be the defense that they want to be. They need him, and he's still a really good player, even if he isn't playing at quite the level he was last year when he was Defensive Player of the Year. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about it. If you're Bill Belichick, you want to get him on board and have him on board for the rest of the year. Maybe the way to do that is say to him, like, listen, like, we'll take care of the situation contractually, whether it means we're shipping you off to somewhere else or we're letting you go after the year. We'll take care of that after the year. Let's just focus on you being your best, so you're worth the most, and us being our best so we can make it into the playoffs.
What are you hearing on Julian Edelman, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's – like, Chris, this is just sort of an accumulation of things. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's – as much as I've heard on him, it's just – like, the knee issue was sort of, you know, build up over the years, and I just think he's sort of at that point where – you don't know, it's just kind of like on the edge of his usefulness as an NFL player. And I know that sounds harsh to put it that way, but he's made it a lot longer than a lot of slot receivers do. And because of the way he plays and again, the position he plays, there's a shelf life on that. And, you know, it's sort of like the natural, you know, there's a reason why guys who play that position get hurt a lot. It's the sort of, you know, natural kind of push and pull. Like, you want to have a guy like that, like, who can, you know, who can get open in tight spaces over the middle and, you know, make plays between the numbers and move the chains on third and five and all of that stuff. And the trade-off is generally those are smaller guys who are running around in areas where there are linebackers and safeties. And eventually, you know, the amount of hits that you take pile up. And I think that it's just, it's a credit to him that he's been able to keep going into his mid thirties, but it does feel to me like we're getting pretty close to the end with Edelman as an effective slot receiver in the NFL.
We're talking with Bert Breer, the MMQB. Let's say he makes it back, you know, and I know you just touched on this a little bit. Does it really alter the way the Patriots will go about running their offense? Because we've talked a little bit about how last week the Patriots decided they were just going to run the ball. That's what they're going to do, and how that's probably going to be their game plan going forward. How much will Edelman change if he makes it back in a vacuum here? We just assume he's healthy, he can play, he can do everything he typically can do. Yeah. I don't know how much it will change them.
No, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, here. I mean, I think, like, you're getting some of the production from Jacoby Myers you'd be trying to get from him anyway, right? Like, and I think they sort of found themselves over the last couple of weeks, which I think it really is who they were the first 2 weeks of the season. And, you know, like my perspective on this has been, you need to play a certain way when you have a certain type of quarterback. And, you know, I think that they were trying to get back to doing some of the things they've done in the last 20 years, you know, for probably a 3 or 4 week period there. And I think that's part of why it didn't look very good. And I think what they've had to recognize is we have to play a certain way with Cam Newton as our quarterback. And he can be incredibly effective if you play that way. If you're willing to commit to playing that way, he's been an MVP in the NFL playing that way. You know, but I do think that committing to playing that way means you're committing to playing certain personnel. And, you know, for example, that means Damian Harris and Rex Burkhead over James White. And, yes. And I think it also means less opportunities for the receivers because you're probably going to have less of them on the field at one time, right? Like, because you're going to be playing in more heavy sets. And so, you know, I think that that sort of limits what you're going to be able to do with the group as a whole. Which, you know, if you feel like you've got a good, like, synergy going between Jacoby Myers and Cam Newton now, like, I mean, you may be, like, kind of scratching to find ways to use Julian Edelman effectively from here on out.
You know, we're talking about the quarterback position. Obviously, we're talking about it sort of on a micro level, but, you know, the macro situation is who's the long-term answer or what are the long-term answers at that position?
Mm-hmm.
One name that might be out there is in the division, Sam Darnold. He's out again for the Jets against the Chargers today, although Adam Gase said he could return next week against Miami. Who are some of the teams that maybe would be interested in Sam Darnold, and would you put the Patriots on that list?
I mean, I think the Patriots might have an interest in him. I don't think he was their favorite quarterback in 2018. Okay. Like, I think if they had had their choice of that quarterback group, I think they would have taken Baker Mayfield. But you know, he's obviously, I think he's still 23, which is crazy to think about. And you know, he has obviously gotten some NFL experience now. And I think that there is a high ceiling there still. I mean, people forget that he was pretty raw when he came in. So I think the Patriots would have an interest if he were available. I just think that the Jets are going to have enough options where they won't be forced to trade him in division, if that makes sense. I think there's going to be enough of a market. I can tell you, like, for example, Denver, he was their number one quarterback in 2018. If things go the wrong way over the next 6 or 7 weeks with Drew Locke, I wouldn't be surprised if Denver made a play for Sam Darnold. The Niners, they're another team that I think was pretty high on Darnold. You know, at least certain key people in the building were in 2018. So they're another one I would kind of put on that list. Chicago, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, you know, wouldn't that be funny if, you know, the team that initially had that third overall pick in 2018 winds up using all the second round picks and then gets Sam Darnold back anyway. So, you know, like, if you look at the list of teams, there's enough there where I think, you know, if you're the Jets, it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe you would consider trading the guy in division if you didn't have any other options or if the Patriots totally blew you away. But if you have a real market for his services, I just don't know why you would help a team down the street out.
If I can just follow up there,
please.
What's Baker Mayfield's situation in Cleveland? I mean, is there any chance there that he shakes free? Is Kevin Stefanski sold on him? Just because you mentioned Baker Mayfield, and I think we all know Josh McDaniels liked Baker Mayfield, and the Patriots explored moving up to draft Baker Mayfield.
It's hard for me to see a scenario where they get rid of him after this year. But I do think he is very much like, I think he's like, I don't want to compare him to Mitch Trubisky because that sounds like a slap in the face.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Like, but there is like this thing with the rookie contracts now where you come to a decision point after year three, and that becomes, that's becoming even more, I think it's become even more of a flashpoint with a new CBA, because the way it worked before was you make a decision on the fifth year option after year three and it's only injury guaranteed. So you can still cut the guy after the fourth year, right? Well, in the new CBA, starting with the 2018 draft class, those fifth year options are fully guaranteed. So the Browns are going to have to make a $25 million decision on Baker Mayfield after this year. So I think Kevin Stefanski and that group, I think they want to keep working with Baker Mayfield past this year, but they're going to have to send a pretty strong signal to all of us how they feel about Baker Mayfield because, you know, come the beginning of May, they're going to have to make a decision on whether or not to activate that fifth year option and guarantee him $25 million for 2022. And so that's what's so interesting about that one to me is I don't think they'd move on from him at this point. But you look at a deep quarterback class coming in this year, I think it's going to be a really good class in the draft. And then, you know, you kind of position that against the decision they're going to have to make on Baker Mayfield. And it's not impossible to see a scenario where maybe, you know, they would look at the idea of being creative with what they're doing at the quarterback position.
All right, quiz time for both of you. Do you know how many ribs you have? Most humans have a certain number of ribs. Do you know how many there are?
I don't know. Like, I know where we're going on this. But yeah. When I saw that number, I was like, that did kind of pop into my head. Do you know?
Yes, it's 12 on each side. Okay. Most humans, the overwhelming majority, have 24 ribs.
Oh, so that varies. So it's not like
uniform. Well, yeah, you know, people can be born with one fewer, one more, you know, genetic things, right? But for the overwhelming majority, like 99% have, you know.
Okay.
Have 12 ribs on each side for a total of
24. So Brees is down half his ribs.
All right. So Drew Brees has had, this is a tweet from Ed Werder. Drew Brees had x-rays, CAT scans, and has been seen by doctors every other day this entire week. They have now confirmed there are 8 rib fractures on his left side and 3 on the right.
Oof. That sounds painful.
That sounds so painful.
So that means nearly
the number 11 on the crawl. I like cringed when I saw that.
That means nearly half of his ribs are cracked. Nearly half. He says that's more than double the total from testing that was performed on Monday that revealed 5 rib fractures. Yes.
Old bones, man.
Yes.
Old bones.
And so I'm just wondering, you know, I think a lot has been sort of looked at with this Brees injury, and then he went on IR this week, and people were like, oh, you know, he might be out 3 weeks or a month, and then he'll be back. How soon do we think we'll see Drew Brees back? And when you get to a point where you've got issues with your lung because of the injury,
yes,
and you've had 11 rib fractures, how much more is there to Drew Brees' career? Like, this is one that will probably have him thinking, I don't know that I want to do this anymore, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it has to be. He's already sort of been on that fence teetering already.
I think this was his last year anyway, wasn't it?
That's what we assumed.
Yeah, and, you know, he was, I mean, like, look, like, guys, he took this decision, like, really to the wire back in, you know, February and March. Like, he was not 100% coming back.
Let me tell you, right now, he's sitting there regretting the decision. It may only be because of the pain. It may be only a temporary regret. But at this moment, I bet he's saying, I shouldn't have done this.
I don't know. His team has a chance to win the Super Bowl.
I didn't need this.
I think, you know what? I think Chris just hit the key point, though. Like, he knows how good that team is. Like, that team, like, you look at, like, I've made the – I think it's the best roster in the NFL. You know, and I think it's the depth of the roster. It's how well they've drafted. It's the amount of guys they have on rookie contracts. Chris, I think I took you through. I think I texted you the list at one point. I mean, it's
amazing.
It's unbelievable. Like, how
they're
well
the anti-Patriots.
Drafted. It's amazing how well they've drafted the last 3 or 4 years. And it's basically solved all of their cap problems. Like, they had these enormous, enormous cap issues because they kept mortgaging contracts. And every single one of those problems has basically been solved by the fact that they're drafting as well as they have. And so I think a huge part of this for Brees was, I feel like this is a Super Bowl team and has been a Super Bowl team for the last couple of years. And God, would it suck if I walked away and they won one without me. And you know what the twist to that is, too? Here's the twist to that. You know who might have been the quarterback if he hadn't come back?
Brady.
And how much would that suck for him? So I definitely he knew that Sean was going to sniff around Brady if he retired. And God, would that be like kind of like a knife twist if, like, you know, he spent 15 years in New Orleans, and he's this icon there, and he won one Super Bowl, and then Brady parachutes in and equals his total, you know, like, so don't, like, I wouldn't totally discount, like, that little thing either there, because I think that there is definitely that, like, kind of like, well, if I walk away, what is it going to be? And I don't think he wanted to miss out on what he thought was a really, really, really talented roster. And I think, like, the results show, like, how good that roster really is.
All right, Bert, great to talk to you as always. Thanks for the time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. Enjoy the game.
Bert Breer from the MMQB with us here on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. Phone lines are open, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls. Also, more on the draft, more on that Derek Rivers cut by the Patriots yesterday, and a theme that has developed over the years with Patriots picks. We'll do that coming up next on the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network.